Ron and Anian.
I'm one of those mechanics that everybody loves to hate, and you know, just here fixing your car. So, but that's what this show is about.
I got a beat leather jacket.
Car doctor.
The biggest problem I've got is, and Charlie, our caller from the last hour, said it, 10,000 miles on his Toyota Camry, he wouldn't have anybody look at the car for a year.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here at the TST Big Event as we take this show on the road. We are just north of New York City today in Westchester County at the Westchester Marriott. We are walking among the automotive gods today, the automotive gods of training and information as they continue to try and help this industry and keep it current and keep it thriving. And we're going to dive right into it because we've got an awful lot going on in this hour of the Car Doctor. And we're going to welcome Wayne Colonna from ATSG and talk to Wayne. Wayne, what is ATSG?
Well, ATSG is a technical organization that helps anybody who's working on transmissions diagnose their problems, and we produce manuals on how to repair them, how to diagnose them, and then we do seminars as well.
So transmission, that's a pretty simple thing today, right? What, you know, it's got to go forward, it's got to go backwards. There's not a lot going on.
Oh,
there.
No, there's not. It's very simple, right? We've got 10 speeds, we've got CVTs, we got dual clutch transmissions. Yeah, it's very simple.
You know, when I started in this business, 10 speed meant you had a cool bike. It wasn't
yeah,
part of your car. So, you know, when you talk to guys out there trying to diagnose, all right, going back, we'll date ourselves and go back 25 years, maybe 30 years, that the car shuddered at 38 miles an hour and it was a GM product. It probably had a bad torque converter clutch and it was a simple diagnosis, right?
That's correct, yes.
Today, that car shudders at 38 miles an hour. How many possibilities are there on what it could be?
Oh, it could still be converter, but you're absolutely right. There's so many the transmissions that are adaptive shifts. You can have different kind of clutch issues inside, fluid issues inside, valve body bore wear issues inside. It can cause a whole slew of these kind of problems.
But you're also you've got to look at the engine now. Gee, my transmission does this, but... Yeah, you could still have it. You could still have an engine problem. There's still an engine performance problem there,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, because it's so integrated. It's now powertrain. So everything that's going on with the engine computer, the anti-lock brake system, is all tied in with how the transmission is shifting and functioning. Absolutely.
We had an 08 Explorer. No, I never tell war stories on this show.
Okay.
I'm going to break the rule today. We had an 08 Explorer last month. Came in from another shop. They couldn't fix it. It had a left front open wheel speed sensor circuit. The transmission wouldn't shift over 6 miles an hour. The car would just about get going down the road, and it was about to get to that 8, 9, 10 mile an hour shift point, and the brake came on. The car just about crawled to a halt, and it was fighting itself.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You know, that's really the infancy of what you're talking about.
Absolutely,
now,
absolutely. And it's interesting that you bring that up because it was several years ago that we encountered this situation with a gentleman who had a BMW, and apparently his tire treads were worn, and he took a flat on one of his tires, put a spare tire on it, and after he had done that, it wouldn't shift. It would stay in lower gears. The heavier he was into throttle, the more it would stay in lower gears. If he lifted his foot off the throttle, he could get it to shift up, but as soon as he got into the throttle, it would go back down again. And what we have discovered was some of these high-end vehicles would have what's called curve recognition program built into the ABS module, where when they see that the vehicle's in a turn by the wheel speed signals, it will not let the transmission shift because they didn't want to have shift busyness, so they would purposely hold that gear in the turn, and so that when you would get out of the turn and you'd get back in the throttle, the transmission would just go on its way. So if you have tire sizes that are incorrect, the computer thinks you're in a constant turn as you're going straight, and it won't let the transmission shift.
So much to end the argument about my car needs one tire. Can I do one, or do I have to, right? Do I do four, or do I do one, or how many do I do?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, is the diagnosis, I won't say of the future, because I think it's now. I think the diagnosis is here and now the problem. Do we have to, you know, we have to scan for codes, right? How does the system work? Are tires the same? Is tire pressure the same? you know, we have to start to look at everything, and now we've got to look at the anti-lock brake system to diagnose what may be a trans problem.
Absolutely. And you know, when you have underinflated tires, overinflated tires, vehicles like Land Rovers will give you problems, BMWs will give you problems, some Chryslers will give you problems. There's a really good tool that it's called a stagger gauge. And a stagger gauge, what's really nice about that is while the vehicle is on the ground, the weight of the vehicle on all four tires, you quickly measure the width of each of the tires. And the stagger gauge looks like a ruler, but it's giving you the wheel circumference. And you can quickly identify if you've got one tire that's way out of range, and that's why you have transmission shift issues.
When we talk about transmissions, off the subject of diagnosis for a minute, what are your thoughts? And you're a guy, what was the first trans you built?
My first transmission that I built was a 300, GM 300 transmission.
Okay. As long as you didn't say cast iron power glide, I was going to get nervous.
Yeah.
So we talk about trans fluids, right?
Oh, yeah.
Never change your trans fluid. Never, ever, 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 ever.
Yeah.
Now, here's a guy that's been building transmissions 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think transmission fluid for life is just a marketing thing. Really, transmission fluid turns into an abrasive, so I recommend seeing the fluid change at least every 30, 40,000 miles. It's just going to make the transmission last longer.
I read something the other day that talked about LV trans fluid in Ford products. There's an additive package in there. Is that true? And the additive package tends to dissipate after a set time period. Is that also another concern?
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, fair answer.
Yeah.
But I have seen that they're talking now where trans fluids have additive packages, and those wear out as well.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of it either until I read the article.
Yeah.
So I guess that's...
we do see fluid degradation, and you were just talking about shutters. That's one of the problems with sometimes converter clutch shutters, because fluid does degrade. And, you know, if you start seeing a shutter, one of the very first things you should do is put new fluid in. However, if your vehicle has got over 100,000 miles on it, putting brand new fluid in it at that time could also work backwards for you, because it's a detergent, and now you're going to dislodge a lot of sediments, and now you're going to make other issues.
So when you had your shop, you don't have your shop anymore,
no,
do you?
No.
Okay. So when you had your shop and the person came in at 100,000 miles, Wayne, I never changed my trans fluid, and you tell them, well, it's brown, Mrs. Smith. And they ask you, well, should I change it, or which way did you roll the dice?
I wouldn't be the one to change that fluid.
You'd
I wouldn't
leave
touch
it, alone.
It. I would leave it alone.
Now, why is that?
Because again, when you have a vehicle that has that many miles on it, the fluid is already degraded. You've got areas inside the transmission where it's collected sediments. You put brand new fluid in it, it dislodges that. It's like a detergent, and now you've got all these particles going around. You have valves that stick. The transmission will actually maybe experience a failure a lot sooner than if you just left it alone.
Do you think the concern for dirty fluid or dirtier fluid gets to be more of a concern on a newer, later model, you know, an 8-speed, a 10-speed transmission versus an old 3-speed turbo 350 GM product? Do you think it becomes more of a concern? There's more going on there?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you have 8-speed transmissions, obviously it's not going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, but it skips shifting, and it's very active. And so you don't want that fluid to degrade, because you've got shift adaptations. That computer has to be able to overlap all these various sequences of shifts coming off, clutches coming on, coming off. So if that fluid is degraded, you're going to have problems with that overlap. You're going to have shutters on a shift. You're going to have harsh shifts or slipping shifts, all because fluid is degraded. Yeah.
If you're a trans shop out there today and you're not using ATSG, what are they missing?
Well, ATSG is definitely a wonderful technical support for transmission shops, because diagnostics is getting very difficult. And so we've got 10 guys on our technical hotline that helps guys think things through and figure out where the problems are. And we have access to a lot of material, wiring diagrams, and factory information that can help them work through a lot of the problems that they're facing.
Now, do you have to be a trans shop to partake? I mean, I'm sure it's a subscription-based service, but
we offer a yearly subscription, but we also offer pay-per-call. So for like $35, they can call in on an incident, and we can work with that person until that problem is solved for that.
You got to have some pretty smart guys on that tech line, because they're dealing with engine, transmission, and now ABS,
yes,
right?
Yeah. They're busy.
Yeah, they're busy all the time. Interesting. Wayne, in our last 30 seconds or so, where can the listeners, the shop owners, the technicians out there go get more information?
Well, thank you. If they would like to visit our website at www.atsg.us.
.us. Okay, .us. ATSG.us.
Yep.
And they get some transmission help and information.
Yep, absolutely.
Wayne Colonna, I want to thank you for all you do for this industry.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And in all honesty, every time I get to see and watch you, you're good, man. You really are.
Oh,
Don't be. He's a very humble guy, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm glad to have him here in the Car Doctor's Garage. Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor, we are back right after this from the TST Big Event. Don't go away. Car Doctor live at the TST Big Event here in Westchester at the Westchester Marriott, and we're rolling along this hour. We're talking to each and everybody, it seems, that about automobiles, and we're getting some education out there and trying to make this work. Life gets in the way sometimes fixing cars, and you know, there was a gentleman, Dave DeCourcy, and a great automotive instructor. I took a couple of classes with Dave myself, and sad to see that Dave has passed. And we wanted to talk about that, though, a little bit, though, today in a good way, because, you know, it's a life to celebrate. And here today to help me do that are Mark McKean and Rick O'Neill, friends and compadres of Dave's. And we're going to try and touch on this subject, and they're both here from the DeCourcy Training Group, of which Dave created, right? That's why.
Correct.
It's the DeCourcy Group. Welcome aboard,
yeah.
Gentlemen.
Yeah. Dave started the DeCourcy Training Group. It was a future idea that he had that unfortunately it was just Rick and Dave and myself, and we've invited some friends along to join the group, but Dave just loves sharing his knowledge with all of us. If you had a problem, you call Dave, and Dave would walk you through right there on the shop floor. He would take you step by step through
he made it fun.
When I first met Dave, I was tired of fixing cars. I hated it.
He made you think. I remember that. When I took class with Dave, he made you think. He made you stop and look at it from a different perspective.
Right.
And it wasn't just a broken car. It was a challenge.
No.
It was an opportunity to learn something. And that was Dave.
Right.
He started out as the kid, the 16-year-old kid pumping gas, changing water pumps, right?
Yeah. He worked in a VW dealership. That's where I think he got his start.
No water pumps there, though.
No.
not back then.
Right, but he had some crazy stories of walnut blasting and carbon and stuff back then, which is now making a comeback in our industry. And he just, every day, he just kept absorbing more and more knowledge. He went to a tool truck for a while. I think he said he hated that. And then he got back into fixing cars, and then he made the jump to just instructing.
If Dave were here today, Mark or Rick, either one of you, what do you think he would tell the up-and-coming technicians? How would he talk to them? What would he say to them to inspire them to continue and move it forward?
He'd tell you, keep learning.
Right.
Get in class. Learn. Don't stop.
You know, and to the
just
kid that says,
just because you graduated doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Put your time in.
Right. And and that it's not an 8-to-5 job.
No.
You know, it's a career. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
You know, it goes on. Although before we went on air here today, I said, you know, it gets to be 6 o'clock at the shop. I go home. I'm done, because that's the other side of it, right?
Yeah.
It's a balance.
Yeah, right.
You got to go home. You got to see family. You know, we plan. God laughs, and that's That's the other side of auto repair.
Well, when we would get together at my store, it would be 4 o'clock in the morning, and he still wants to go. Mark, what do we have? Let's get a car down. We need to get a relative compression waveform. Can we grab this waveform? And after a while, it's like, no, we're stopping.
Right.
You know, and he would just want to go all the time.
Tell me about the DeCourcy Training Group.
Well, what we're doing now, Rick and I, and we have a friend Angelo and Bob Powell, Paul Spiliotis in G with TST. What we're doing is we're going to take Dave's future vision, and we're going to start to learn. We're going to keep Dave's message going of learn. If we have a tool, like we like ATS stuff, so we're going to take this ATS stuff and we're going to learn how to use it to the best of our knowledge and best of the ability of the tool. Any other tool, we like, you know, we love EVAP diagnostics. We're going to start using the bullseye leak detector and the Burney cells, and we're going to start, you know, practicing with that, and just anything that we can figure out how to figure out how it works, and then figure out if it's broken,
And get every nickel out of it.
Exactly.
React to this, either one of you. You know, how many technicians have a digital volt ohm meter? How many of them do you think really know how every function on that meter works?
Not many.
Probably very few.
Not many.
They know a few functions, and that's enough to get by with. Right. They don't delve in deeper.
And Dave would be so against that.
Yes. Yeah.
Because Dave would be, I want to know how every little position on the knob works. I want to know what every little lead does. I want to know what every little setting does.
Right.
And that's using a tool.
Right.
Because Dave wouldn't change a part on a car until he was sure that was it.
Right.
He would run another test. He would figure out another test out of the box. How can I make sure that's the right part? Because I want to fix it once and fix it right.
Right.
And, you know, it gets down to that's what the technicians today and of the future need to think
right.
and do.
Right.
Because
right.
it's one of the things I've learned about the industry is the manufacturers don't have all the information.
No.
They don't know everything about what they're making.
No.
And they're expecting their techs to fix it, and yep. then it falls down on our shoulders. And guys like Dave, you know, think outside the box, as you said, Rick, and help us to fix that car.
Right.
Yeah.
He would keep pushing you.
Right.
You know, don't be satisfied. Go a little bit further.
Yeah.
Keep digging.
And one of the things I knew about Dave was he would also play the game of what if. He was
right.
a what if guy.
Yeah. Yes.
What if this doesn't fix it?
Right.
What would be my next step?
Right.
And then I would watch him go and diagnose that. He would look beyond what it was he was going to change and then back up and go, okay, I know this is bad because this failed
right.
or this passed. So I know he was one of those guys. He was a big thinker.
He would always be two or three steps ahead of everybody else.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And,
right. Like we have a saying now is, at least since Dave's passing, he's not there to answer the phone anymore. So now it's like, I say, what would Dave do?
Right.
And since then, I've fixed a lot of cars, you know, in the last couple of months, just by going that extra step, going that extra diagnostic step, and just thinking outside the box.
Yeah, and thinking outside the box is what this industry is about.
Right.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's just part of the process. Listen, I appreciate you guys coming up here today. I know it's tough. It's a tough subject.
Yeah.
We don't like to think about it, but it's reality. It's, you know, it also makes it look like, you know what? It's just another broken car, lady. I'll fix it. Just leave me alone and give me some time and a couple of dollars to do it, and I'll be glad to help you with your problem.
Yeah.
If the listeners out there, our shop owners, our technicians, if they want to know more about the DeCourcy Training Group, is there a website? Can they go get more information?
We don't have a website up yet, but there's a couple things I'd like to mention. We have the TST GoFundMe website. If they want to make a donation to TST to GoFundMe, that helping Dave's family with some expenses. He was sick for a long, long time, and they've got a whole stack of bills that they're trying to get settled up.
Okay.
Also, too, there's the Dave DeCourcy Future Technician Scholarship, which is run by Vision Kansas City. Look that up on the website and give them a touch on that one.
Perfect. Guys, I got to go. The clock's going to take me. I'm running Andy and the Car Doctor. We're back right after this.
Thank you.
Car Doctor live at the TST Big Event, and we keep rolling on this hour. We're here right now with Justin Kidd of Farsight, and I want to get right into this again. We're short on time and a lot to talk about. Justin, welcome to the Car Doctor. Farsight scan tool. You know, there's a bunch of scan tools here today, and I came across Farsight, and I looked at the concept, and I said one word, and I'm going to say that word to you. Why?
Well, first off, we're not a scan tool. We're actually a support group. We designed Farsight with the concept that every shop should be able to fix every vehicle. We did design a custom robust tablet able to diagnose all makes and models, Asian, domestic, and European. But we really back that and pair it with our technical support.
So, you know, you say you're not a scan tool company, yet we're looking at a tablet.
You're right.
All right. It looks like a scan tool to me. So what makes this different than everybody else out there that's got a tablet like this that looks like a scan tool?
So what we've done is this is actually our connection between me and the vehicle and the technician in the shop for us to be able to remotely watch what everything you're doing. We can actually aid you with diagnosing. We have advanced drivability software that and we can guide you through remote programming. So it's really a lot more than just an actual scan tool. We can actually do a lot more than that.
So this is sort of like a hotline service, but it's visual.
It's visual, yes.
So you're saying, and I was reading about the Farsight, that this has a camera built into it, and I could dial you up and dial 1-800-FARSIGHT or whatever the number is and talk to Justin and say, Justin, I've got this 08 Explorer and I'm looking for the purge valve and I can't find it. And you're going to go, hey, Ron, you know, watch this. Turn the tool on and bring it over to the right front corner of the engine. And there it is, the thing that's right. And that's what you can do.
We have a real unique way of actually delivering technical support. Yeah, we do that directly through the tablet. We have a 3D barcode reader that actually scans the VIN into our equipment and then actually reports that all that information back to our support center. And then we can remotely access with the forward and rear-facing camera. We can actually have a face-to-face interaction with the equipment while you're diagnosing a vehicle.
What do you do, not to put you on the spot, but it's. I mean, this is what kind of got me hooked, because this is light years of every scan tool I've seen to date. What do you do for the tech when he takes it on the road? Can he still talk to you, or has it got to be within a wireless, or you've got to have a cell phone connection?
So you can actually, it is a Wi-Fi connection, but it can be tethered off of a cellular device or a hotspot.
Right.
I can still remotely control it and see everything you're doing live while you're on the
road. So you can go for the road test with me, and we can look at fuel trims and O2 sensor activity, and you can coach me every step of the way.
I can. We actually have a real powerful drivability analyzer from Automotive Test Solutions.
Gee, I can go home. I'm done. I don't have to fix cars anymore. It's nice to know that I get a vacation next week.
Well, we're trying to make it really simplistic. We're trying to get back to basics. We want our repair shops to get back to doing just that, fixing vehicles. We don't want you to be sitting in front of a computer,
right,
loading software programs, installing. We can allow us, our technicians, our brand-specific factory-trained technicians, to actually load the software for you. So you don't have to spend the time to install all that equipment, and you're not making any money doing that. You're making money by actually repairing the vehicle, not installing software. We were trained to be technicians, not to be software engineers.
Right. So, you know, at what level or what level shop does this tool fit? 2-bay shop, 20-bay shop? Somewhere in between?
We really hope it fits everybody. Because of the fact that we've made it in a way where it's expandable, so multiple people can use it. We have repair shops where 2-bay repair shops have two of them because they like it so much that they're actually working independently with each other and one under one roof. But really, I mean, we've built that equipment to be able to host all of the vehicle manufacturers on the same platform. So we've built it out. It's a Windows 10 platform. It's expandable. You can add really whatever you want on there. But we have some specific software that we've really vetted and feel it's some of the leading cutting-edge software out there.
How are you getting around, you know, some car companies are proprietary. And maybe this is an unfair question to ask you cold, and I'm sorry. But how are you getting around the proprietariness of, you know, BMW or Mercedes or Porsche? Or are you there yet? Or is that the direction you're headed? You know, is it Toyota, Honda, Ford, GM, Chrysler, or are we trying to get across the board?
So it's something that we're working with. We're actually working with a lot of the manufacturers and being able to guide their customers through this type of repair. So they can actually load the software into our equipment, and then we can actually just guide them through that repair with our brand-specific guys. Because we don't expect everyone to be an expert in every single brand. It's pretty impossible to do
these days with
the complexity of these cars. But being able to load all those manufacturers and be able to house them under the same piece of equipment that we had, a robust tablet, we can have brand-specific guys help drive that and see real-time. So we don't expect you to know how to get through a programming event on a BMW. It's a complicated car. They program the entire vehicle at one shot.
Right, and for the listeners out there, if there's 110 modules in a BMW and you have to program module 52, you got to go one through 51 to get to it, and then 53 through 110 on the outside.
they go through every module.
That's
very
right.
Complicated process.
That's right. What's really nice about what we do is because I myself am a BMW technician, I know that there's going to be a couple of modules that could be pretty chancy. So at least if we know that going into it, we can avoid maybe ruining that type of a program. Maybe that's not really what's wrong with the vehicle. Being able to bounce that type of information off a brand experienced guy might just be worth the phone call.
So as a vehicle manufacturer, how do you think they look at you guys? Are they happy to have you guys out there fixing their BMWs and their cars? Do you think the manufacturers are saying, hey, if we finally got some guys that can fix cars, the more people we make happy fixing a BMW, the more likelihood they're going to buy a BMW again?
Well, the way I like to think of it is, you know, we're their residual income because those cars have to be serviced in the aftermarket world. So being able to have us trained and experienced to be able to do those repairs, that just means that those customers are going to be happy to buy that type of a brand. If they kind of segregate that customer base from doing any types of repairs in the aftermarket world and not being able to service it, what's the likelihood of that customer purchasing another vehicle from that particular manufacturer?
Right. If they're happy, they're coming back and
That's
they're
right.
buying another one. So the manufacturers have to really like what they're seeing with you guys, because this is the first concept of this I've seen. And I know this is fairly new. What, about a year and a half now it's out?
Yep. We've actually been kind of building this out for about 3 years.
Right.
We've had the experience in similar diagnosticians and remote programming and technical support
right.
for a while.
Yeah, suffice it to say, you're in your infancy, but you guys are growing in leaps and bounds. Because
absolutely.
I see you all over the place. I see you in print. I see you digital. I mean, you're here today, and that's why I dragged you into the booth. He's doing good, isn't he? He was kicking and screaming. I don't want to go on live radio. What could I say wrong? I said, come on, we'll make it easy. How hard could it be? I'll give you a cookie. They gave me a nice stack of chocolate chip cookies over here. And, you know, good so far, right, Justin?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. For the shop owners out there, they think, hey, I want to see Farsight. I want to take a look at this tool. Where are they going to get more information?
They can visit us at farsightlive.com. We have some videos up there, and they can fill out some information. I'll return their call to them.
And will someone come out and do a demo, depending upon where they are? Is it done over the phone, or do we do it remotely?
Well, you kind of nailed it. We can do both. If there's someone in the area, we can actually get out there too and see it physically. If not, I actually do remote web demos.
Wow. I wouldn't expect anything less from you, buddy. So you did good. I'm Ron Ananian, the car doctor, Justin Kidd, Farsight. Thank you, sir.
Thank
website again, real quick?
Farsightlive.com.
Perfect. We'll be back right after this. Ron Ananian, the car doctor, rounding out the hour here at the TST Big Event up in Westchester, New York, just north of New York City, the TST Big Event. We've talked to a lot of people in the past 2 hours. We've talked to everybody from trainers and instructors and just knowledge. And, well, I thought I would change it up a little bit, this portion. And I've gone out and I've snagged Adam Varney. Adam happened to be walking by, and I saw a mobile guy on his badge. And, Adam, you're a mobile tech.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the car doctor, by the way.
Thank you.
It's tough enough fixing cars in a brick-and-mortar building. Okay? My hat's off to you. You're like the Apache scout. You're the guy that goes out ahead. What's it like being a mobile tech, and what's that all about?
Well, it's definitely difficult, and I have gone as far as getting a brick-and-mortar place now, too, a couple years ago.
Right.
So I'm kind of doing both. So I do this full-time. I go out on the road. I have another guy back there. It's a lot of stuff because you got to try to play the hero. You know, when some of these guys have been on a car for a couple weeks trying to work on something or fix a real bad problem, I really have to figure out in like an hour.
Right.
And act like I'm a superhero sort
right.
of thing.
And so you're the guy that when somebody gets stuck, you go to them instead of them bringing the car to you.
Yeah. Well, shops.
Right. You don't do retail.
Right.
Right. We can say that word.
Yeah.
Retail's not a bad
and
word.
I mean,
radio.
This whole mobile business, you know, it's really John Anello.
Right.
I'd say it would be the guy that started it all.
Right, the whole con. Yeah, sure. And I saw John
here.
I couldn't twist John's arm to get him up here today, but
maybe
I'm
a copy
time.
Of that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's great.
Yeah. And you know, is the day coming where being the mobile guy doesn't exist anymore? Do you think that's going to come to an end?
No, but the gravy is going out of it a little bit. The programming stuff for me is kind of going a little out because you have bigger manufacturers trying to jump in, go remote, things like that. So I'm going to have less of that, and I have to cut my teeth again and start Diagon more.
So when we say you're a mobile guy, you're not going to Mrs. Smith's house, changing her oil, doing her brakes, and changing the spark plugs. you're going to Bob's Auto Repair, and Bob's working on a 2008 Explorer. That seems to be my test vehicle today. I can't get that out of my head.
Is it?
And you're diagnosing why that ABS light's on that he can't figure out.
Correct.
Okay, and then if it needs flashing, you're flashing. And so how many scan tools do you have, and what kind of vehicle are you hauling them around in?
Lost track. Ford Transit Connect.
Wait, hold on. Back up a second. I'll ask that question one more time. I want everybody to make sure they heard that. How many scan tools do you have, and what kind of vehicle are you hauling it around in?
I lost track.
Really?
I stopped keeping track.
Really?
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're flashing, you're doing all OE-level stuff.
It's a lot of subscriptions, yeah.
Yeah. Off the top of your head, casually, what do you think your yearly subscription fee is for all these scan tools?
I don't even know.
$10,000? $15,000?
I think Mercedes alone is $10,000 or something a year.
Wow.
A subscription to them.
Wow.
And
wow.
I have some exotic stuff, too, like some factory Ferrari tools, Lamborghini tools, things like that.
Whew.
I used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to punish myself.
Yeah, well, this is a business model, right?
It's a bad business model for those things because it's hard to make the money on them.
And how many years are you doing this?
8 years on my own now.
Right.
Yeah.
Does the future for Adam Varney look like he's going to do it another 8, or is he going to stay with the brick and mortar building? Or
I don't know. We'll see. I also work in professional racing too. So I work for the Pirelli World Challenge Series.
Right.
And I do the data acquisition for the series right now. I'm scrutineering, and I look for other cars, cheating sort of thing. After they come in, you download all their data. It's pretty cool.
Look at the talent, right, that it takes to fix cars. Look at what's here. All right, it's amazing, and I say this, I've been surrounded by some of the most humble gods in the automotive industry today. You're a super smart guy, Adam. I think you could do anything you set your mind to. It's a matter of you're in the right place at the right time. All right, you're young enough, you're starting out. I'm looking back at you and I'm thinking, you know what? The world's your oyster, kiddo, because you got it going on. But you have a brick and mortar building too. What's that about?
I do a lot of kind of exotic vintage cars. I just got done restoring a 300 SL Mercedes, 61. That's like $1 million car now.
Yeah, sure.
Daytona Ferrari Spider. We've Lancia Aurelia. I just did a restoration on. I like a lot of old stuff too.
You're an old soul.
I'm in all sorts of areas.
You're
it
an
seems
old soul.
Like, yeah.
Adam, the clock's going to take us. Let's plug your shop. Right. Where are you guys located?
Located in Thomaston, Connecticut.
Is there a website?
It's Need Auto, spelled NEAD, like Northeast Auto Doctors abbreviated.
Okay.
.com. I have a Facebook page and everything, and throw up YouTube videos and stuff like that.
So if somebody wants to find you, get on YouTube, get on Facebook, look for Adam Varney.
Look for Need Auto.
Need Auto. NEAD.
Correct.
NEAD.com. Yeah. Cool beans. Adam, thanks for being here, and I appreciate what you do, man. I really do.
It takes
guts. You're good. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor kind of discoing down and rolling along here at the TST Big Event up in Westchester, New York, just north of New York City at the Westchester Marriott. And as we wind things down this hour, I'm here right now with the vice president of TST, Pierre Rispo. Pierre, welcome to the Car Doctor.
I'm glad to be here.
Former shop owner.
Yes, former shop owner. 30 years of my own shop. 50 years in the business.
You are the BMW guru, they tell me.
Yes, I guess I am. So I've worked on BMWs for a vast majority of that time.
And you've got the credentials of being in the business a long time and in all areas, not just as shop owner, as technician. Now you're VP, vice president of TST, Technician Service Training. My word to Neil, the treasurer that I had on in the previous hour, was change. And my word to you is change. But change for the younger techs, what do they need to do looking forward?
I think they need to have an attitude where they're always looking for the new stuff, where they're always asking why. Be a two-year-old. Why? How does it work? What don't I know? And by doing that, you're always going to learn new things. You're also going to find that the things that you miss or would have missed, you're looking in a different direction for the answer to that.
And
it keeps you fresh also.
And it's I've said this, I don't know how many times this show, this hour today, and how many times I say it during the week. It's not an 8-to-5 job, is it?
No, it's really more of a lifestyle. You don't want to take all your work home with you, but your way of thinking stays with you.
And it's how many times have you had AIR, automotive insomnia repair, right?
Yes.
You know, where you're thinking about it at night.
Yeah, or the other thing, I'm driving home doing what I call my mental checklist, running through what I just did, and I have a little bit of an epiphany and aha moment where I may not find the answer to my problem, but I find the test that I need to find the answer to my problem.
And that helps you fix
the car. That helps me fix cars, yeah.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, you guys are doing a heck of a job, TST and all, and I'm glad to be part of this, and we look forward to continuing the relationship, Pierre. My best to you and G and all that you guys do. Where can the listeners go get more information real quick?
It's TSTseminars.org.
Cool beans. I'm Ron Anini, the car doctor. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.